Well, good morning. Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles. It's so good to see you here. Hope that you have come excited and ready to worship God for 8 days together. Should be very exciting and a very good time. The one we worship, that's what gives us meaning to be here. Because we did not make ourselves. We are created by the living God. We are saved by His Son who sits at His right hand. And every reason for us to be here today is to celebrate the great things that our Father in heaven has determined to do through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's begin this message today by turning to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 16. Jack read this for us already today. I want to pick it up here in verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 13. It says, "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, when you've gathered from your threshing floor and your winepress." Now, how many did that, actually? How many gathered from their threshing floor and their winepress? Anybody? One? Seriously? Somebody gathered. Yes. All right, a couple of you. You realize that 100 years ago, 90% of you would have been raising your hand. Maybe not from the wine press, but certainly from the bringing in of agriculture. We lived in an agrarian society 100 years ago, the United States. It was built on farmland, people owning land. You know, when it talks about the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was generally associated with having a piece of land that someone could own and have their own place. They could make their own living, their own way in the world, an inheritance. And so when we think about where we are today, this is God speaking to a people that He put into a land and gave an inheritance. It's kind of cool. And we miss some of these things because we're not in that culture, that society. We go to jobs. We work out of homes. We don't always have a lot of produce. My wife, she's been threshing in our garden and harvesting lots of good stuff. And it's pretty amazing. You realize that when you take a break from growing things and seeing how it works, when you get back in the garden, you're like, man, the whole plan is in here. Everything you need to know from God, it happens right in your garden. Everything is going on in that garden. Verse 14, "And you shall rejoice in your feast. You and your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates." Everybody. Everybody should be rejoicing. "7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so you shall surely rejoice. 3 times in the year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which He has given to you." So beautiful verses here, maybe my favorite on the Feast of Tabernacles in the Bible, because God is saying He wants to bless us. In fact, He's going to bless us, and He's going to give us life. He's going to give us liberty. He's going to give us provision, the things that we need in life, and He wants us to come at these appointed times and celebrate. Are you ready to celebrate? Do you come with a heart ready to celebrate before God, ready to rejoice in this time? When you think about God saying, "I want you to take this time, this is what you're going to do, I want you basically to come and party. I want you to have a great time." You know, when you think about what God has set up here, it's pretty amazing and pretty awesome. But sometimes we can get lost in the fact that, hey, we weren't threshing, right? We weren't going in our vineyards. We're not bringing animals here to sacrifice. We're not doing a lot of the things that maybe we can read about in the letter about these days, but seeing what God is teaching in the Spirit. Now, since we started Rock Valley Christian Church, this year has been the number one year when I have been asked, "What do you do?" All right, you've got me convinced, but what do I do? How do you spend the time? What are you going to do when you go there? You know, sometimes all of us, you know, 30 and over crowd keepers of the feast, we get in a habit and we kind of have a trend of what's going on and what we're doing. But there's people that are just keeping the feast for the first time. In fact, Scott asked a question, but how many are you, of you are keeping, have only kept the feast for 5 years or less in this room? 5 years or less. It's a pretty good percentage of the people in this room. So it's good to remember what we're doing and why we're doing it, and some of the lessons that God has. So, okay, celebrate, but you don't just celebrate for no reason, right? There are reasons to celebrate. How many of you have ever been in a stadium and you're watching a sporting event and everybody is quiet and they put on the board, cheer? That does not happen in Chicago, right, Keith? That does not happen. Because we like to cheer, we'll boo. But some stadiums, it's like cheer. And out here in California, that's a big thing, cheer. So it goes on the board, cheer, and everybody, yay! And they take it off the board, silent. It's just totally silent. So how does it work when you get told by God to rejoice? He also gives you the reasons to rejoice. So let's talk about these a little bit today. How do you keep the feast? There's the question that we're hoping to answer. I think that question needs to begin with why. Why do you keep the feast? Why are you here? Why are you here? To celebrate. Why? God tells us to. Okay. That's a good place to start. God's plan. God tabernacling with us. What was that? To honor Adonai. To rehearse the future. What was that, Bill? God set an appointment for us to meet him here. To worship. To keep God's plan in our heart. To practice out what will become reality. Awesome. So you think about these things. Now, different answers. But what were your answers? What were going on your mind? There could be so many answers to these questions. But I want to make sure that right here at the beginning of the feast, we have some things that you can latch on to. That you're going to say, this is why we're here. This is why we're celebrating. Number one, the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. That's incredible. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. Emmanuel, God with us. You realize that we're sitting here on a faith that God the Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, that we could have everlasting life. That's what we're really here. I mean, when you think of a primary fellowship reason, because we believe in something so stupendous, the whole plan of God began with this. This is where we began in Passover, but this is where we also consider in tabernacles our Lord who came to dwell among us. Do you celebrate that? Number two, the tabernacle of God will be among men. Revelation 21. Notice with me here in Revelation chapter 21. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, His dwelling place. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Isn't that beautiful? Everything that we're celebrating in this plan is going to culminate with this. God tabernacling among His people. As we come to the end of celebrating these feasts, we are looking to a time when God will tabernacle with His people, when this world will know a time of peace, when the people who are alive are His children. So, where we begin with these feasts and how it culminates in the end with God tabernacling among us. We remember that we're tabernacling. Right? We are seeking a better home. Turn over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent, or tabernacle, groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. So we remember that Christ came to dwell among us. We remember that our Father is promised to come dwell among us. We know that we are to be in a different tent, and that God is bringing in this great harvest. This time of ingathering, this time of gathering together. So when God is saying rejoice, when God is saying come together, He's saying all of us and everything else that you can take from the Word of God and say these are the reasons that we're here. This is what God wants you to be thinking about. God is establishing a kingdom among men. God is establishing a kingdom that will never end. It's worth celebrating, isn't it? I mean, when you look around what's going on right now in Syria, in the Middle East, with the threats in Iran and Iraq, in North Korea, and the amount of persecution, the amount of things going on with slavery throughout Africa and Indonesia, and all the trades in the world, and how man uses man and oppresses mankind for gain. Doesn't it make you want this? Isn't there something missing? Isn't this why we confess we're strangers and pilgrims here? This is not where we want to be. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again. Jesus Christ is coming back. And God wants to be dwelling with us. But it's not just about us. It's about that great gathering He has at the end. How awesome it is when you bring in a harvest. How awesome it is when you bring people forth. How awesome it will be when people come to know God. Friends, we live with the ache of lawlessness around us all the time. We live with it as a pattern of life. Before I left, I'm checking every window in my house. I'm checking every door to make sure it's closed. I'm setting the alarm. I'm making sure everything's the way it's supposed to be because I'm not sure what'll happen when I leave. See, God says there's a time coming when every man will sit under his fig tree and under his vine and none will make him afraid. Nobody's looking to do harm. When people have a mindset toward one another that's not about getting gain over someone, but rather thinking, what can I do for someone else? I want you to look back with me again in Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16. Because when He says, I want you to come, verse 13, He says, you shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you've gathered in from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice. You shall rejoice. Because what we're staring at is what God is doing. You see, you may come here with a lot of burdens. You may have come here with a lot of heartache. How many of you had it kind of rough just getting here this year? How many are going through issues at work? I've just been blessed. It's been unbelievable. You couldn't have written a better script to say, this is going to be really hard getting to this feast. And the thing that's so amazing about it is when you come here, you just let it go when you look to God. It is amazing how big trials, problems, stresses, whether you're facing health issues, whether you're facing business issues, whatever you have going on in your lives, when you take out time and say, God, you're it. You are my focus. You are my hope. You can have rejoicing. See, because the things that we memorialize, the things that we are celebrating, they are done. Because God has said it. God has written it. God has put it before us. We're just waiting to see it happen. We're waiting for it to unfold. We are servants of the Lord who have been shown what is going to happen. And so we get excited. We get happy. Scott's up here all giddy. He laughs and screams like a schoolgirl when you guys aren't around. I've seen him do it. Believe me, he's like, woo-hoo! You know, he is ready to celebrate because he's thinking about the things that God is doing and the things that no man can stop. You see, what God is doing is awesome and is great. What God is doing is certain and true. Notice here he says, "So you shall rejoice in your feast, you, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow who are within your gates." In other words, look around you. They all should be celebrating in this. "7 days you shall keep a sacred feast for the Lord your God in the place that he chooses." Why? "Because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all your, the work of your hands, so you shall rejoice." What is the fruit God is wanting you to bring forward? What is the fruit that God has been blessing this year? You see, it's more than what comes out of the physical earth. It's what's coming out of the spiritual earth. Where we live. Where we want Jesus tabernacling in us. Living in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That in us, what is being produced is this fruit. And God is saying, if you will work, I will bless it. If you will go forward with what I say, I will bless that. We have been doing things this year that are blessable. We have been seeking the Lord. We have been looking to Him. And here we come with these fruits and saying, God, you're doing more. It's amazing when I look back. Thank you, God, that you've worked with me over this last year. Thank you, God, that you've shown me how to be more productive in producing fruit. Thank you, God, that I can come to this moment and see things. I see things happening in my life. I know you see things happening in your life. How thankful are you for the things that God is doing in the assurance that His blessing has been with you this year and has brought you to this place? That should get you excited. To think that God is with me, He is for me. God wants to see the good things come about. So it says, 3 times a year, all your male shall appear before the Lord your God in the place that He chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. So these 3 times. So here we are at the last one. But notice, these 3 times in a year, he says, every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. Everyone gives as he is able. Turn back with me here just to chapter 14, a couple pages back. Chapter 14 of Deuteronomy. Notice here in verse 26. Actually says back up earlier, verse 23, you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where He chooses to make His name. Right? And then dropping down, if the journey in verse 24 is too long for you so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put His name is too far from you, for you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. So I said party. I wasn't kidding. I said, what do you want? I want you to eat. I want you to feast. I want you to drink. I want you to celebrate. I want you to rejoice, you and your family and everybody who's around you, because of what I'm doing. So we come here with a spiritual celebration of what God is doing, who God is in our lives. And He says, for whatever your heart desires. The things of desire. Now, I found out somebody's desires yesterday. What was that? Brad really enjoys these things. These are the macadamia clusters, salted caramel, milk chocolate, way too many calories that I'm holding in my hand. It's like, it's amazing the weight of calorie that is in this little thing. But Brad loves these things. So, Brad, this is... Bradley. Now, you know, we are to have this time of rejoicing, and I heard a lot of moaning during announcements today. And this is a time of celebration. So, were there kids who were here that really wanted, it was their heart's desire to give their memory verse today? If so, I want to see you raise your hand. Did you have a heart's desire to raise your hand? Okay, you two right there. Let's hear it right now. Can we turn this mic on right here? You ready to give it? Becky? Shana? Would you come up and give your memory verses?
Thank you, guys.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
So, a normal candy lady, I don't know if she came prepared, but it's all right because I came prepared today. So you can pick whatever you want. This is my desire to give them something.
You
want that? Yeah? All right. Thank you so much. These are cool. These are really cool. Oh, yeah. Let's go. Who likes peanut M&Ms? Anybody? Sure, Reed. Oh! That was a field goal. That was right through the uprights. All right, we're going to have one more here.
Putting candy in
your
life
of my trust. Beautiful. Thank you. Would you like to pick a piece of candy? Thank you. But see, the thing is about celebrations, about parties, about celebrations, is that you want to have fun. This is a holy day. But it doesn't mean it's a day that is somber. In fact, the day is actually to be a day of rejoicing and great happiness. God is doing amazing things. And so we want to look at, how do we celebrate these feasts? We celebrate it with some sweets. We celebrate it with God's words. But how do we go then and think about these things that are on our minds? What do? Keep the feast with great gladness and rejoicing, right? This is what God wants us to do now. I want you to turn over with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 is a celebration of one of these three feasts that it talks about in Deuteronomy. This is the Feast of Passover, but I want you to see something that is a characteristic of the feast. And we see this in other scriptures of the Bible, but I think these verses laid out for us so well to give us a heart and an understanding of what we're going to be doing here this week as we gather together. Notice with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, and verse 21. It says, "So the children of Israel who were present at Jerusalem kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness." Just like God was saying, He wanted it to be a time of rejoicing, a time of celebration, and a time of happiness. But what were they doing? Notice, "And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing to the Lord, accompanied with loud instruments." Right? So we got drums. We've got guitars here. We've got instruments for celebration. "And Hezekiah gave encouragement to all the Levites who taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they ate throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings, making confession to the Lord, the God of their fathers. And the whole assembly agreed to keep the feast another 7 days, and they kept it another 7 days with gladness."
Let's do it.
Cool, huh? I mean, herein lies so much of what it is. I got asked the question, like I said, throughout this year, what do you do when you're here? You keep it with great gladness. Praise the Lord day by day. Every day that we're here, we're going to be praising God. We're going to be singing to Him. Sing to Yahweh accompanied by loud instruments. We're going to be rejoicing. We're going to be crashing the cymbals. We're going to be shouting out. We're going to be giving glory to God day by day throughout this time here. Teach and learn the good knowledge of the Lord. It said that Hezekiah gave encouragement to those who were teaching the good knowledge of the Lord. Each day we're going to come and we're going to hear a message of the good knowledge of the Lord. People have been preparing messages, studying the scriptures, looking at what it says about tabernacles, and I'll be bringing messages to us while we're here. Eating, feasting. Amen. Eat up! You're going to have a good time, lots of food. Kipek, what a blessing it is that you come here and He provides for us this meal that we're going to enjoy today. I mean, it's just a tremendous amount of work and planning. And the whole team, I know you've got helpers. I don't know who all your helpers are this year, but it's usually Vonderhaar's, Cookman's. I usually see them around. But what a wonderful blessing it is to come. But eat, feast. God wants us to be celebrating. Present offerings. You know, it's interesting that in this, the time is, every man shall appear before the Lord. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God. What is it that God has blessed you with that you can bring and offer while you're here? And when you think about these 8 days, what is it that you are going to be offering? That's really cool when you look in Numbers 29 and you read through about the Feast of Tabernacles. They're starting in verse 12. On this day, there were as many offerings offered as any day during the year. There were 13 bulls, and there were two rams, and there were 14 lambs offered on this day. And what's interesting is that on the second day of the feast, God basically said, make the same offering, but instead of the 13 bulls, he said, go to 12. And then on the third day, he said, go to 11. And on the third day, 10 and 9 and so on. Now, for those of you who haven't kept the feast as long as some of these people that have been 25, 30 years or more keeping the feast, you may not know why that is. Why does God subtract one bowl a day? Believe me, after you eat Keith's meal today, you will get it. There is no way to eat as much food at the end of the feast as there is at the beginning of the feast. So God removes a bowl every day to pare us down because he's like, that's way too much meat. We got to cut that back. So Keith will have a ton of food today, and then his next meal is just a little smaller. It's just a little smaller. And if we get a third one, it's just a little smaller. But the offerings. So many offerings at the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the time to be making offerings to God and presenting offerings to others. It says make confession. This might be a time to reflect. Maybe you're looking at your harvest. Maybe you're looking at the fruit that has been produced in your life. And you're taking inventory of what you brought in this year and what you need to be thinking about for next year. You know, an amazing thing about farming is as you're harvesting, you're always planning. And then you're doing the work and you're bringing in the harvest and the planning starts. Confession is something that's very important, and it goes along with this next point. It says in Deuteronomy 31, 10 to 11, that every 7 years in the year of release, you're to read from the book of the law during the Feast of Tabernacles. Also in Nehemiah 8, 18, when they were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles after they returned to Jerusalem, it said they read from the book of the law every day. So it goes very well with making confession and just looking. This time of celebrating and rejoicing is a time where there's going to be time for feasting, there's going to be time for singing, for celebration, for fellowship. There's also an important time here that you should have with God. An important time that you make for God at this feast, that it's not just so much feasting and fun that we forget about God. You know, one of the great things about God is that He gives you and me a lot of freedom. He gives us the freedom to make choices and decisions. He gives principles. He shows philosophies and ways of this is how love works. And sometimes you don't always know how that works. But what God wants to instill in us is a great love, care, and concern for Him and for others that will come out in what we do with our time. And one of the neatest things about this, when He says, for whatever your heart desires, it gives you a chance to look at what your heart desires. How much of God is in the plan for what you desire? How much of God is in the mix for what we're going to do here this week? To say, you are important, and without you, none of this means anything. See, if we keep God first in our lives personally, in our lives collectively, while we're here, this feast is going to be a tremendous time of rejoicing and celebration. Because God will be in the midst of it. That's what makes this feast so cool. Point number 9. Every man shall give as he is able. Again, we read that in Deuteronomy 16, 17. What do you have to offer? Seek out ways to give. Seek out ways to give the things from which God has blessed you with. And then 10, think about and share with others. I want you to look at that list. I want you to look at it in its totality. I want you to think about the points and the principles that are behind it. All of these come from God's Word in regard to celebrating the feast, one of the three feasts during the year. But I want you to look at what that is. It was Bill said, we are rehearsing out something. What is it that makes the kingdom of God so stupendous? What is it that brings us into fellowship with God? And he can make a claim that there will be peace without end, that he will wipe away the tears, the heartache, that he will wipe away the pain, that there will be no more death. You realize that the beauty of life that we're going through during this feast, as we celebrate these things, it's all about God and others. What we're picturing out is this time of happiness because there's not the angst of lawlessness. There's not the heaviness of what it comes in. We're looking at God and saying, you're my God. And when we look at each other, we're saying, there's the child of God. And it gives us the opportunity to celebrate because everything we do in this room with each other and through this feast, wherever we go, can be to the glory of God. To realize how much He loves you. I mean, what God has gone through when we celebrated in the Passover in His death, His resurrection to life, His ascension to heaven, the pouring out of the Spirit, when we talk about His coming wrath and the judgment and the atonement and the cleansing of sin and the gathering in and the celebration that's going on right here during this feast. We are His children, citizens of His kingdom, celebrating a feast that is part of His kingdom to come. And we're doing it right now. We're saying, this is it. We are ambassadors for a kingdom that is coming. We're celebrating a time that God will be among us and that there will be real, genuine fellowship one with another. When you look at these principles, and there's more. This isn't the whole list. I didn't mean it to be the whole list. I want you to look at what God is asking you to put your attention on. It's not a lot about self in there. It's a lot about God. Praising Him, worshiping Him, singing to Him. There's a lot about offering yourself. There's a lot about giving as you're able. There's a lot about sharing and making confession according to the law as He shows us. When you think about conforming your life to the dominion of Jesus Christ, you think about the very essence of what this feast is. Jesus tabernacling in you. Jesus tabernacling in us. Jesus pouring out life here. God our Father pouring out His Spirit in us to knit us and join us together with a spirit of unity and the bond of peace to have consideration for one another. So no matter where you've come from, no matter what you have before you in your life, God has chosen you to be a part of His kingdom for eternity. It's a very intimate thing that God has made us. And even from the beginning, when He formed us in His image from the dust, He breathed into the first man's nostrils the breath of life. How intimate was that? How intimate is the beginning of making man in His image? I tell you that spiritually it is no less intimate. That the calling that is on your life is to you specifically and is to you to engage in. That you would take up the challenge of life to give glory to God. That with the way you live your life, you give glory to God. That in everything you do, you are proclaiming, He is my God. He is my Lord. He is my Savior, my Redeemer, my King, my Creator. I lay down everything of myself for Him. That's our intimate response back. And it comes out in every action we have toward God and toward our neighbor. We're saying, am I willing to be conformed to the image of Christ? To have that mind. To have that humility. To have that spirit of generosity.
Nobody who wants a piece of candy today is leaving without one. I got a whole bucket full. And if I run out, I'll go get more. It's my desire to give you something sweet this feast. But more than the candy, to have a sweet taste of the Lord. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. At this feast, I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. As much as we may eat and feast, I want you to eat and feast on the one who gave everything for you. That you eat Him up. That in every way God abides in us here at this time. And that God teaches us what it is to live in a society of people who are willing to lay down themselves for one another. You know, Scott said something about thinking about the people. There are people who have come here, I have never seen you before in my life. I want to meet you. But every person here can take ownership of that task. Every person here has an opportunity to be hospitable or not. To show yourself friendly or not. To, if you see someone being left out, to make sure they're included. Every person here, do you know that this is the heart of God? He says, don't even think that I'm delaying my coming. The Lord is not delaying. He's not forgetful of His promise. He's just that He's unwilling that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. He's waiting for us to live like this. He's looking for a life where we live thinking of others first. Jesus did not come to be served, but He gave His life a ransom for many that He could serve us all. There are so many of you with so much more talent, with so much more ability, with so much more gifting from God that you can give. Pour it out here at this feast. I challenge you. Give as you are able, according to the blessing of God. What has God given you? What can you share? What can you give? May there be an overflow of abundance in our giving, and may it all be to the honor and glory of our great King, the God we serve, rejoicing for these 7 days.